Good evening, Little Saigon. It's still Saturday. May the 25th, 2019, Memorial Day weekend. I already talked about that subject, so I don't want to talk about it again. I will say that I am trying to do the list format of things, but it's process. I don't know. I also want to do more interviews, but that's a process too. I kind of need to get the right kind of technology working for me there. I'm thinking of using Skype, but I just wish there was something better. I just don't know. But we'll see. I'm using a new kind of data recorder called a Zoom H4n Pro. I'm still in that judgment phase. I don't know how I feel about it. It's heavier than my Tascam, but it also does more. It has XLR inputs, and if you don't know what that means, they're like the regular kind of like microphone inputs you'll see if you go to a concert, you know, the little three-prong. It has the XLR inputs, so I can actually take this someplace and do an in-person interview. Theoretically, I don't know. I tested out one of the microphones, and it sounded okay. I'm really hoping it sounds better than okay when I do the first Generation Z interview. Coming soon, we hope, sometime in early June, right? That's what people say. I don't know. I'm going to work backwards on the topics. I did make a list, but I'm going to work backwards on this list for a while. It's just a long list. I'm hoping that I will make this list and clear it out on a daily basis. That way, you'll get a sample of me, but what that requires is that I have the right attitude when I get home from Willy Wonka's. And I got a topic on the list to talk about that. My attitude about Willy Wonka's is not always so great when I get home. It just isn't. It's just the nature of the beast. I wish it was different. I wish I could tell you something different so you could feel better about it, but it's not true. But it is good money. It pays. I don't have to become homeless if I work at Willy Wonka's. And frankly speaking, I did try to do that whole I want to become a construction worker thing. And what I found is that, yeah, it's not so easy to get somebody to hire someone like myself as a construction worker unless I do a lot of lying. I have to pretend I have no education. I probably even have to fake an accent. But yeah, I probably would get work that way. Anywho, I'm going to work backwards on the topics. I was thinking today about the horrible things we've done to the orca whales. And we have. We've done horrible things. I know we're not supposed to, like, talk about that, you know, subject, because it's not an easy subject, especially if you're from the state of Washington. But we've been kind of shitty. We've been shitty to the water. We've dumped a lot of poison in the water. We've kind of polluted the air. And we've also killed orca whales. And what's really as bad or worse, we've kidnapped their children. And then we breed them in captivity. And we have them live in tiny little prison cells. And then once in a while, a kind orca whale slave owner will release their orca whale slave into the wild, or at least into some wild pen, so that they can slowly die. So yeah, we've been pretty shitty to the orca whale, so it's kind of a mystery to me. Why haven't the orca whales started killing people? I mean, it seems by now there should at least be some serial killer rogue orca whale prowling the Puget Sound for people on kayaks. It's food. I mean, it's food. If they'll eat seal, I don't know why they wouldn't eat human. It's certainly food. That's A. And B, yeah. Kind of like, probably we deserve it. I mean, I don't mean individually. I don't believe in collective guilt, but I will tell you this. Collectively as people, we should be shocked and dismayed about the plight of the orcas in the Puget Sound. We should be shocked and dismayed that they could be slowly dying off. And we should ask ourselves, what can we do to fix this? Because this is a problem that we all kind of, you know, helped to create. And what's more important for principles of morality and decency, how can we fix this without pointing guns at each other's heads and being all violent and crocodile about it? How can we fix it by simply doing so voluntarily? But that's the thing. I don't know why by now there should be one orca, at least one, that's just gotten so angry and so pissed off that he's decided to go Rambo and just start eating people in kayaks. I don't get it. It is very confusing to me. It's weird. Okay? And the only solution I've come up with has had me think about this other kind of mystery. And I don't really want to call it a mystery because a lot of anthropologists have come to a conclusion, and so it's no longer really a mystery. But there used to be this kind of mystery. What happened to the Neanderthal? You know, what happened to all those Neanderthals that existed 60 or 70 or 80,000 years ago? Where'd they all go? Where'd they all disappear to? And the funny thing is, it might not be such a mystery. It could simply be the fact that, well, a couple of things happened. They were murdered, and they were raped. And so there's genetic information to show that people have Neanderthal DNA. So yeah, there were rapes. I'm sorry. I know there are people who want to believe in Disneyland bullshit. Disney fucking cartoon movie bullshit. This is not a podcast for children. If Homo sapiens were fucking Neanderthals 70,000 years ago, if that's the reality you believe in because your biology teacher said so, I hate to break it to you, but there's a consequence of that belief. You have to accept the simple truth that it wasn't all Romeo and Juliet, okay? It was raping, okay? Homo sapiens were raping Neanderthals. That's where the Neanderthal comes from. And we were murdering them. That's what Homo sapiens were doing. We were murdering and we were raping. If we have a soul, if there's even a touch of soul in humanity, it could very well, if you believe in that version of reality, again, I'm a Christian, so I have a whole nother cosmology I buy into. But if you buy into that kind of Darwinian, natural, scientific view of things, it's entirely plausible that the only decency in humanity comes from Neanderthals. And that could be it. Neanderthals could have simply been really chill, really decent, really good people. They might have even looked very much like us. They might have even been more attractive. This could be a good example of projection and a lot of the fucked up shit we get from, you know, a lot of the fucked up bullshit we get from our own egos. But what if the Neanderthals, instead of being the ugly, you know, oh, they look like Bigfoot and they were gorillas with hairy arms, what if that's projection? What if that's psychological bullshit? What if the reality is the Neanderthals were the good-looking ones? They were the fucking Raquel Welch. They were the Raquel Welch in that cheesy 1 million years BC. I mean, the other woman was beautiful too, but the point is, what if the Neanderthals were the beautiful, sensitive, decent creatures, and we were the fucking monsters? We were the fucking chud. We were the orcs. We were the monsters. And all we knew how to do was murder and rape. You know, that kind of explains the orca whale situation. They could simply be extremely evolved. They could simply be, and that may be true of most whales, they may be so emotionally evolved, so emotionally complex, so even if I put on my Christian hat and I could say God could have given them such sensitivity to the world, that perhaps they realize there's nothing to be gained by going on some murderous rampage, like in Moby Dick. But it is surprising to me that this doesn't happen more often. It is actually true. I mean, it is true that whales, you know, would attack, you know, people who were involved in whaling back in the olden times. That kind of stuff would happen. And so it is the case that whales will fight back. But why an orca whale hasn't gone crazy and started just killing kayakers and swimmers And anybody in a boat that's, shorter than 20 feet. I mean, here's the thing. If an orca wanted to come after you, that orca could take out a sizable vessel, at least relative to a lot of the fucking consumer recreational shit that people take on the water. So why hasn't it happened, you know? Anyways, I think I'm gonna scratch that topic. But yeah, there's a lot of fucking Disney bullshit out there. So the next topic is a big one for me. It's sort of huge. Gigantic, because it comes back. It's like a bad penny. The next topic for me, if you listen to my podcast, we'll call it a bad penny topic because I talk about it over and over again from different angles. But this next topic deals with the subject of free speech. I talk about free speech because I care about free speech. I think like liberty, it's essential. It also means sometimes you're going to be offended. Sometimes somebody's going to say something that pisses you off. The rational response is to walk away, to shun. The rational response is to turn off the device. I know that you think the smart device is helping you, but turn it off if you have to. Turn off that audio. Go to another web page. There are ways in which you can escape the words that are causing you fear. But actually, what we've done is we've reached a really scary place. It kind of makes me wonder if this is how things began. Ray Bradbury, and again, I'm not a Ray Bradbury expert, but I really loved Francois Truffaut's version of his story, Fahrenheit 451, as a film. It's probably one of I think it's one of the best films that came out in the 20th century. And it was based upon Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury's book. But it's a great film. It's a great book. And Ray Bradbury's dystopia is scary. It's a dystopia where people no longer read books. They don't read. Everything is like a look-say pictography. They don't actually have concepts the way that we have them. But it makes you wonder, how did they get there? It probably didn't happen overnight. It was probably very incremental. It probably happened by one or two words being banned. It's like the fucking Canadians. You can't say he, you can't say she. If you say he or she, people will get upset. All you can do now is say, will thou go thus fuck thyself. I can say that. That's very fucking Elizabethan. But I can say Elizabethan bullshit, I guess, for a while until they figure out that bullshit, and then they ban that too. This is the thing. You end up in the horrible dystopia of people not reading books and worse than that, burning books, because people lose one word at a time. It's like one word becomes so evil, so bad. I'll tell you about a bad word. It's a really bad word. It's a word I've used. It's a word I fear to use because it's almost as bad as the N-word, and I pretty much never use that word. Not because I think it's wrong, but for personal choices. I don't use the N-word. I don't see the point. I know that it'll stir up all kinds of anger. People will say, Dan used the N-word. He used the N-word. N-word alert. I don't give a fuck. I simply don't use it. But there is a word I've used in the past, and the word is cunt. Cunt. I know that a lot of women, that's a fucking trigger word. It's like, what did you say? And when you really, really think about it, when you break it down, you can kind of see their point. Because there's another word, cut, cut, that's very, very close to it, and it's a very violent word. It's a very dangerous word. It's a word of harm. And so I'm being real with you on this for a second. I understand why that word, cunt, would piss off a lot of women, because it is a word that is connected to a way of looking at a woman that is wrong. We should not, and it's not just about being a man or a woman. We should not objectify each other the way that we have. We've treated each other like chunks of meat, like we're all disposable. That's called wrong. You know, that's wrong. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to treat each other as disposable. It doesn't mean we can go around the world worried about every fucking problem. Believe me, I suffer from the disorder of taking in too much bullshit. You need not do that. It is not your job to fix the world, but it is maybe all of our jobs to make the world a better place. So that word, CUNT, is a very harsh word, and I get why it bothers people. But the thing is, if you delete a word like that, if you say that word is so bad, it should be removed from every dictionary, every book, every story. It should never be spoken again. You're deleting history. And you're even, and you're even, excuse me, and you're even deleting the history of that violent oppression that bothers the oppressed group. You're even getting rid of that history as well. It's why, and rightly so, a lot of African Americans do not get away. They don't push the N-word away. They don't discard it. They've held on to the N-word. Why? Because it's part of their history. Because it's part of where they come from. Why would they get rid of it? If they get rid of it, they're getting rid of part of their history. Now, have they taken it back? Have they appropriated it in a right way, in the way that they have control? I would contend yes, so that it doesn't control them. But it's still a word they've chosen to hold on to, even though from another time, another era, from a perspective, and even today, it can be a word of disdain, a word of disgust. A word of mockery. You know, and it's such a loaded word that I won't even say it, you know, because I don't see the fucking point. But if you delete these words, if you get rid of them, you're getting rid of history. And I think that's what troubles me about all of these various quote unquote sensitivity movements. I'll call them sensitivity movements because that's what they are. It's about being sensitive to make sure people don't feel upset or offended. I understand there's so much bullshit in the world right now, but can't we all just get over it? You know, we have actual real problems. All, for example, all these stupid wars that are optional, we should stop them immediately. There's a real problem that human beings can solve. Doesn't involve CO2, doesn't involve polar bears. Doesn't involve any of that other shit. It involves real shit we are doing to our fellow man, to our fellow woman, to our fellow person, irrespective of gender or perspective, every fucking day of the week. That is an optional thing we can turn off. And I know I've ranted on that before, but like I said, bad penny, bad penny. You know, people are afraid of burning books, but I gotta tell you, and this is what my note said in my book, we have to be worried about burning words. It's the words that go away first, folks, not the books. The books do get burned. Do not get me wrong. You know, there are book burnings. They will be coming. Books will be destroyed. But we're becoming so digital. Will it really have to be like that? I am thinking about getting a Kindle. I have been holding off getting a Kindle for years, and I'm thinking about getting one. But once I'm plugged into the Kindle world, what happens when words suddenly start getting edited, or special notes, or special strikethroughs saying this isn't a nice word anymore? What happens when we start doing that? And before you get all high and mighty, like, well, H.P. Lovecraft would be just as good if we made various stories less racist. Listen, H.P. Lovecraft was a brilliant writer, and H.P. Lovecraft was also kind of racist. And he was kind of sexist, and he was kind of basically a xenophobe, and he was kind of crazy. And that's part of his history. If you delete this bullshit, you're not just deleting words, you're deleting history. So, yeah, I don't like it when people say terrible things. It's funny. There's a cat in. There's a cat in one of H.P. Lovecraft's stories, The Rats in the Walls, and it has a name that has the N word in it. And I could imagine someone going into that story, The Rats in the Walls, and making sure that the N word goes away. And that's a chunk of history that gets deleted. And that's part of the story, it's part of the time. Yes, H.P. Lovecraft was racist. Get over it. When I was a cadet at Central Washington University, I remember, I think it could have been Halloween 1994 because it was a really fun Friday. I was in a really good mood. I have so few of those Fridays. I remember them in almost a crystal clear way. But there was another event. I was at a cadet's apartment. She had an on-campus apartment. We were at school. And I was hanging out, and she had a cat, and she told me the name of her cat. And she said that her cat's name was Sambo. And I said, listen, you know, and again, I was in graduate school, but I had just gotten done getting my bachelor's degree in history from the University of Washington, and I'd gotten all my proper sensitivity courses. So even I knew you shouldn't name your black cat Sambo. That's wrong. That's not as bad as the N-word, but you know, actually, historically, it's not that far off. So I gave her my little, I've been going to school in Seattle, and I'm sensitive to the structure of the universe, and I'm all about that bullshit. Even though what's really funny is I really did try to reject that bullshit. But you know, you go to school for 4 years, some of that shit sinks in. So I give her the little speech about how you shouldn't have named your cat that. And it was like, she just came back with, I didn't know. It's like, it just didn't seem like a big deal. And here's the thing. She very well could have known, and she very well could have been a racist. I really don't care. But the word itself is just a fucking word. If we have reached the state of human history where we are so afraid of words that we're going to make them disappear, or we're going to delete them, or we're going to start redefining them, if we have reached that point where we've decided it's okay for an unelected cadre of people to make these fucking choices, then folks, this is pretty fucking bad. And I don't know how else to put it. I'm sorry for using that terrible F word, but it's terribly fucking bad if we've reached that point. Anyways. I don't know. I've got this next topic. This next topic coming up, I don't know. I don't know how to talk about it. It's kind of weird. Today I was thinking about, like, a lot of people who podcast, for example. How can I put this? I feel like I need to call it my special Glimbus, but a lot of people who podcast or who's on YouTubes or even the fucking 2 a.m. digital broadcast channel 26.1 or 32.8 in your viewing area, wherever you are with those digital broadcasters. Because there's a shitload of channels. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed this. If you have a digital antenna for your HDTV, there's a lot of fucking digital channels out there. A lot of fucking crazy ass shit. Good, bad, right, wrong, whatever. A lot of crazy shit out there at 2 a.m. And a lot of these people, these podcasters, these YouTubers, these 2 a.m. broadcasters, they'll tell you how you should run your life, and then they'll talk about their secret juice. They got their secret juice or their secret fucking book. If you buy my fucking book, your life will get better. And I gotta say up front, the thing that troubles me about podcasting, and it troubles me about some of the responses I get sometimes from people, is that they'll want to know if I have a secret juice. Like, hey, Dan, do you have a secret Glimbus or Sklimbus? Do you have a refined, you know, kombucha that is from all types of probiotic fucking shit that comes from the scrapings of some dead fish from the Amazon that'll clean you up or fucking tear you out or whatever, but make your life better because that's how you become, like, you know, such a healthy, good person like Uncle Dan, which is funny because if the entire purpose of this was to become like me and you saw how I lived, you would understand that that's not a good strategy. It really isn't. But that's not how that shit works. That shit works through deception and lies. You know, and so no, if you listen to me, I just need to make this point. Number one, as far as donations, currently I am working. So I do appreciate donations that are reasonable or amounts that are reasonable if you think you get some level of entertainment value. I think that's okay. I think I should accept it because it would be nice one day to make a living doing something like this. But I'm currently working, so I don't need any big donations. I will let you know if my employment situation changes. And this brings me into my next topic because I feel like I had this little statement in my notebook, inching closer to normie or inching towards normie. I feel like this job, as aggravating and as migraine inducing as it is at times, is kind of working out. I mean, relative to all the hells. And you have to understand that when it comes to contracting as a software engineer in Seattle, there are many hells. Like it is like Dante's fucked up Inferno. There are many circles of hell for contracting as a code monkey in the King County, Seattle area. Many, many hells. So as far as hells go, this hell's not so bad. I mean, the current team I'm working with, the people are mostly okay. My boss is mostly rational, given the craziness, and there's lots of craziness. I think I talked about the thing that the Willy Wonka ritual of scorecard. Scorecard's crazy, and it's not just our group. It's something I accidentally mentioned, but it really is across the whole organization. They do this scorecard thing, and I think it's very disruptive, but it's part of their ritual. But despite all the crazy and the weirdness, and despite the fact that it is Willy Wonka's, and I'm not a huge fan of Willy Wonka, it's kind of working out. They're paying me, they like me. I mostly try to keep my mouth shut, although, as you could probably guess, I fail at that miserably. And so they probably know way too much about me. I mean, a few of them know I have a podcast now, so that's the end of Uncle Dan if that gets up the fucking command chain. All of a sudden, having a boss listen to the Coastalizer once, say, "You talking about our Coastalizer?" And it's like, holy fuck, am I talking about your Coastalizer? Why doesn't it work like an actual Coastalizer? You're gypping us. And that's even kind of racist, I think. Gyp, the word gyp. That's kind of racist. But yeah, I feel like I'm getting towards this place, called normie, where I want to embrace the chunks and pieces, the bits and pieces of the dying beast called the normal world. I don't honestly believe in my heart that most of this normality can last much longer. It's not that it hasn't gotten less normal. Things have. It's kind of like, my last podcast where I talked about the controlled demolition of human society. Things have gotten worse if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Things have gotten worse if you understand history. But the way they've managed people's expectations has been quite brilliant. I mean, I have to give credit to the crocodile, where credit to the crocodile is due. They have managed to pull off a massive public relations scheme. Edward Bernays would be, Edward Bernays in hell, he's currently in hell, but Edward Bernays in hell is looking up and saying, bravo. They have managed to drift people towards oblivion without a lot of Americans even fucking noticing it. They have gotten most of America to a near third world state, and most fucking Americans don't even fucking know. Go to Dayton, Ohio. There's lots of places you can go to. Visit these places. Visit Little Saigon in Seattle. Every city now has places that are basically falling apart. This place is falling apart. But they've convinced you that it's not. I don't know. So yeah, I'm inching closer to normie. I even had the weird idea about maybe trying to date again. No fucking way should I do that. Why would I want to date? Why would I want to date? Who the fuck am I gonna date? Oh, hey honey, you want to go out with a guy who's almost 50 years old and probably should exercise more? And probably uses more marijuana than he should, and probably drinks more beer than he should, and probably doesn't give a fuck about a lot of things you care about because he actually believes the things you care about are pointless and futile. They're fruitless. I mean, nobody wants to date that. No one wants to go out with that. I wouldn't even want to date that myself. So no, I'm not looking to date. I if there was a woman out there who had some realistic view of the world, understanding where we're at and where we're going, and was willing to roll the dice and try to, you know, have some happiness while we can find it, I would be all for that. But if it's somebody that wants to live in a Disneyland perpetual motion machine fantasy world of Walmart bullshit, I can't deal with that. That world's coming to an end. Whatever's coming next, and it might be okay, it probably won't be great, but whatever's coming next, the Walmart world is coming to an end. I really believe that's true. I think the Amazon world's coming to an end. I know. I live in a city of Amazon. The fucking brand new digital recorder I'm using was delivered to an Amazon Dropbox. So when I say this, I know that there's hypocrisy. But it's not so much hypocrisy as recognition. There are a lot of things I take advantage of now that I know are going away. This fucking technology bullshit we all take for granted, this could easily stop working. If you understood how many people are required to produce the technology, to mine the minerals, to maintain the supply chains, if most people understood how much of this was dependent upon a few people who you hope are in a good mood that day, they would probably be very surprised that shit even works, and I'm surprised most days. That's what I remind myself. Oh, by the way, when I run into a crazy bus driver who's going a little bit insane, like today, the one that just almost drove right by me, it was really funny, except it wasn't, so I yelled and he stopped. I accept it. These systems are now in a state of maybe they mostly work. Anyways, I'm inching closer to normie, but I don't know what that means. It means basically I got a few months of hobo rent stowed ahead. I got some money I'm stowing and hiding in corners and burying in the sands. I'm burying my money in jars in various places. I am beginning to build up a bit of a nest egg of protection, so I'm feeling safer. I'm feeling like I'm less in a situation of running from the wolves. I've even considered figuring out a way to rectify my credit situation. But truly, I don't give a fuck. I really don't care. I may literally be in the sweet spot of just not being that interesting and being too much work. And if that's the case, then they can keep my fucking credit score and I'll keep my fucking money. I don't care. The debts I currently owe, I consider mostly to be unreasonable and completely immoral. Especially given what happened in 2008 and 2009 with respect to the banks. But again, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. But I'm even considering that. I'm considering this idea of trying to, like, get my fucking credit situation fixed so I could buy a house. So maybe I can buy a house and then I can get some furniture. And I can put the furniture in my fucking house and I can have a fucking place I can sit down and watch my TV. And then maybe I can have a girlfriend named Lisa and Lisa can come over and we can talk about some person she saw at 2 a.m. on channel 25.7 talking about the Glimbus juice. And if you drink enough Glimbus juice, it'll really, really just clean you out, you fuck. You know, if I were a parent, and I'm not, and some of you may be saying, well, thank goodness, well, whatever, fuck you. But if I were a parent, I think I would have a legitimate excuse for getting, you know, inured by, sucked into this normality paradigm. You know, the normalcy bias taken and writ large, the normality, the American dream normality paradigm of all of this American shit being normal, I would more easily get pulled into it because I've got kids, okay? And that changes things. I do believe parents need to protect their kids, and to some extent, they got to protect them from the worst of the world. Maybe not all of it. Don't lie to them. But to some extent, you got to kind of blunt the fucking truth. So I get it. I understand it. when it comes to my brothers and sisters, especially, I get why they allow themselves to get pulled into that paradigm, because what the fuck else are they going to do? They're raising a family. And this goes back to that whole wounded on the battlefield thing. Listen, more people with problems means less people in the streets protesting. That's a simple fucking calculus, is all I'm saying. But I don't know. I don't know what normality means to me. I mean, I currently go to church. I don't go every week. I skipped last week. I kind of have to go to church tomorrow because I'm part of their technical support team now. I'm in charge of the lighting, which is really sad because the little screen I look at church looks awfully similar to the SQL job screen of the great snake, Ard, at work. And so it's almost as if, I go to church and I do something with a pipeline that is at least in some sense holy, and then I go to work and I do something with a pipeline that is at least in some sense evil. I know that's terrible. It's probably not evil. Willy Wonka is probably not 100% evil. Probably not. Probably something there that's good. But anyways, next topic, right? What's the next topic here? Holy shit. I know what the next topic is because it's kind of related to my last rant about Normie, but I get to skip it. I get to knock it out. So, before I fled Seattle in 2014 for Indianapolis in the belief that Indianapolis would be remotely like the Indianapolis I left in 2003, before I fled Seattle in 2014 to Indianapolis, not realizing that I was, in fact, in that sci-fi film noir classic, the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where towards the end of the film, the dude is in this town way, way far away, hopefully beyond what he fears, and then he sees a truck pull up and unload and start to unload pods. So before I left Seattle, a friend of one of my sisters, and let's just call the sister a sister that lives somewhere in Seattle. A friend of one of my sisters made a comment to my sister that was relayed to me that Dan won't be able to love anyone until he learns to love himself. And it's one of those things that I found jarring because it's like, I just got dumped. I just got divorced. I don't even know this person that well. And yet, in some sense, because of the privilege of knowing my sister, she felt completely competent in saying, "Oh, Dan isn't gonna find any love unless he learns to love himself." Well, guys, let me just get this out of the way. I think that there's some truth to that. Like, yeah, you kind of have to love yourself to love someone else. But here's also a little bit of reality. I think that you can love yourself too much. Like, you can kind of have a vision of yourself as being something you're not. And so it's also okay to hate yourself a little. Yeah, I think maybe I hate myself too much sometimes, but folks, there's a lot of you fuckers in Seattle, especially, all pompous on your bullshit, drinking your fucking Glimbis shakes, and thinking your sphincters are clean. There's a lot of you fuckers who think your smarts smell like a fucking unicorn espresso. A lot of you fuckers could stand for a little bit more self-hate and to wake up just a fucking little bit. And I don't mean the people of Little Saigon. Most of the people of Little Saigon, I think, are living a life right about the level of reality. But I mean a lot of you fuckers in Magnolia and nicer parts of Ballard and fucking Belltown. Fucking Belltown. Fucking Maple Leaf. Maple Leaf, places like that, Ravenna, places where people think things are just fine. Everywhere things are okay. Learn to love yourself first. You know what? I do love myself to the extent that I think it makes sense. I don't love myself more than God. I don't love myself more than my dignity, which is to say, I'd rather have dignity and liberty than myself. If it was simply a question of existence, I might as well be some protoplasm in a fucking petri dish. But being that I'm a conscious and aware and free human being, I actually want to live and travel and exist in this world. That's part of the fucking picture. Learn to love yourself. That's the thing about this woolly-headed Seattle liberal orthodox kind of quasi-Democrat, quasi-Republican mentality. It's mostly bullshit platitudes. But when you get right down to it, they support things that are really quite terrible, and all they do is come up with rationalization to say why it's fucking okay. And then they do the three-card Monty on all the fucking emotional victims of the great gender crimes. You know, and that's when you get into the whole, oh, we need to deal with our intersectional bullshit. We need to deal with our lit clit and all the other fucking shit that's going on. Holy fuck, folks. Ugh, love yourself first. I think people should learn to love themselves. I should say, rather, accept themselves. And I think they should say to themselves, I am thankful that the Lord in heaven gave me this life. And I am thankful that I have choices. And I am thankful that even as fucked up as America is right now, we still can make some choices. But I'm not going to say, I love myself so much, so much. It's like, I love myself, yeah. Sometimes I hate myself. It's part of being alive. But if you never hate yourself, I'm way more worried about the people that never hate themselves, because those people are usually sociopaths. Those people are usually out to fucking grift you. Believe me, I've run into these people. I keep running into these people. I think I ran into one recently. And I gotta tell you, those people are always on the grift. So you gotta be careful anyways. And when I say recently, it was about a month ago. About a month ago, I ran into somebody that really creeped me out. I got a vision into their way of thinking. It was at Willy Wonka's, and that's all I'm gonna say. But I was at Willy Wonka's, I was working, and I got a vision into that. And yeah, there are people around me in this world, around you. They never hate themselves at all. Never. They never have one fucking moment of self-hate. And I gotta say, that's a real fucking problem. Because if you never have regrets, if you never said to yourself that you've done something wrong, then either A, you've never lived. Because living in this world, you're gonna get into collisions. Bad things will happen. Deal with it. You just gotta do the best you can. It's either they've never lived A, or B, they're total fucking sociopaths. And they go through this world creating wreckage wherever they go, and they don't give a fuck. I will tell you, I think I've created wreckage in this life. And I will tell you, I think I've made serious errors that have impacted people more than just me. I've tried to avoid it, but I'm a human being. But I don't feel great about it. I don't say to myself, well, gee whiz, now I'm going to be all fucking happy about it, and there's no fucking regret or self-hate. That's bullshit. You know, I probably have too much self-hate. Most of you fuckers out there have too fucking little. Anywho, next topic. Oh yeah, okay. This is a good one, actually. So I was at the store this morning. As I said, I'm inching closer to that normal world, the normal world, the world of good, normal people, getting closer to normal, you know, getting all normal about things. I mean, really, it's great. Everything's getting normal. Yeah, so, I was getting closer to normal today at the store, buying some shit. Buying some laundry detergent so I could wash clothes. I had been washing clothes at my sister's because I didn't have the money to wash clothes for a few months. And I'm not proud or ashamed, just the simple fact. And I'd also use laundry detergent to wash my dishes, which turned out to be a horrible decision, especially given the mishap of February where I fell on 12th Avenue and opened up some wounds on my left hand. Basically, the combination of open wounds and using laundry detergent and dishwashing detergent, I have to tell people, it's like they say, what happened to your hand? I say, well, I'm involved in an illegal underground fight club, and they have a hazing ritual of pouring lye on my hand, blah blah blah. I kind of, and I'm kidding. I don't know if I would say that, but I almost feel like doing the underground fight club thing, you know? It's way too embarrassing to say, listen, I was so fucking broke ass poor getting food at the food bank. They don't really have laundry detergent at the food bank, that I basically went ahead and said, you know what? I'm just gonna fucking use this fucking laundry detergent. 'Cause it's liquid, right? As dishwashing detergent. And it really just completely fucked up my left hand. I can still use it, but it looks gross. Yeah, so I was at the store today, and as I walk in to the QFC on Broadway, not far from Union Street, this dude, I think he was handing out those, you know, the newspapers that the homeless guys will hand out, and it's fine. It's fine. I don't give a fuck he's doing that. This dude's handing them out, and I'm trying to keep a low profile, and he shouts at me, "Good morning, sir." And I mumble back. I say, "Good morning." And then this other dude who happened to be African American, who's basically just standing nearby, all pompous, says, "The man said good morning to you." And I said good morning first. And he said, "Well, I must not have heard it." And I said, "Well, are you the good morning monitor?" And he said, "I guess I am." And the thing is, it was one of those situations where I should have just fucking left it alone. These days, most of the people you run into in situations like that, they're probably on a hair trigger. So if you're fucking with a random dude, especially if they think there's some kind of racial tension, that's fucking messed up. You gotta be careful. But it just pissed me off. It's like he just blurts out, "He said good morning." It's like, listen, it's not your fucking job to tell me to either say or not say good morning. And as far as rudeness goes, the fucking city of Seattle is a giant rudeness storm for me every fucking day of the week. It's upside down fucking logic. You know, I'm rude on the Metro bus one particular afternoon, and I'll freely admit that, but you fuckers are rude every fucking day of the week. All you fuckers. And so, no, I don't know what to do with that shit. I really don't. But yeah, he said, you know, he said good morning, and I said, fine, you know what, blah, blah, blah. Then I get my shit at the fucking QFC, which is a grocery store. If you don't have a quality food center grocery store where you live, I don't know, fine. I'm just explaining it's a grocery store. I get my fucking shit, my fucking cans of Glimbis, and my other fucking Grimulai, and I get my Slimbus juice, and all the fucking stuff I put together into a bowl to cook up some slurry to eat at night. I get all that shit I need, and some fucking laundry detergent, and some fucking quarters for the machine. And I'm waiting at the little stand on Broadway across the street, waiting for the streetcar. And there's a homeless dude there, also African American. Not a big deal. There are white homeless people. There are Latino homeless people. Homeless people come in all the colors of the unicorn rainbow. They do. Well, there was a really scraggly old African American dude. I don't know how old. You know, the thing about living rough, and this is the thing, I didn't end up on the streets, but I was living rough for a while. The thing about living rough is it can age you. In some ways, it really can. And he looked kind of aged, and he had a backpack that was kind of tore up. I mean, really tore up. And he was mumbling shit, but getting angrier and louder. And so I could hear it. And he basically kept saying stuff like, "I've been fighting against the white, you know, the white people, you know, they call it murder, I call it war, and I'm going to be murdering white people." And he was basically mumbling that louder and louder. I got on the streetcar and he got on it too, and there were other people who could hear him, and he was yelling it almost. "I've been fighting the war against the white people, murder the white people. I can't believe all these white people murder the white people. It's not murder, it's war." He kept mumbling that shit. And you know, here's the thing, guys. I get and understand that there are not simply homeless people, but there are homeless people who are also mentally ill. And this guy very well, he could have been crazy. He seemed like he was probably crazy. He was probably schizophrenic. But then maybe he was just crazy Because being in the streets drives you crazy. That's the other thing too. How do you know where the crazy comes from? Is it the crazy that led to the streets, or it's the crazy the streets produce? I would venture to guess it's both, people. It's not as simple as this person was crazy and then ended up homeless. I think there are people who end up homeless and then they go fucking crazy. And this guy seemed like the latter and not the former. He seemed angry. And his target of opportunity at that particular moment, at least in terms of his crazy rants, was, people like me, the white man. Although, as a ginger, I must be blunt, most white people reject my whiteness. So it's kind of like, hated by everybody if you're ginger. It's probably generally true. So yeah, I got a little bit of a kind of racism today, I felt like, or at least a kind of antagonistic bullshit. And I should have just, in the case of the homeless guy, I smiled. It didn't stress me out. That's the other funny thing. There was a version of me 10 or 15 years ago that would have been horrified by standing there next to this African American talking about how he wants to murder and kill white people. I might have just thought, this is crazy, I'm walking away. But today it was like I was blissfully listening. It was like, holy fuck, this is Broadway in Seattle. This is my home. Some people, when they walk outside their cabin in the morning and they hear the birds singing, they'll say to themselves, as they hear the birds singing, this is my home. This is where I live. This is beautiful. This is where I live. I go down the street and I hear a crazy homeless people ranting and screaming. It's like the birds. It reminds me of where I live. And I say, holy smokes, this is where I live. Some people may hear the crazy screams of homeless people and think it's a cacophony of noise and horrible and to be shunned, to be silenced. For me, it is almost like a bird song. It's keeping things real. Anyways, next topic. Okay, so I figured something out because of a weird situation at work. And I think this will be the last topic of this segment of the Memorial Day editions, plural, of the Little Saigon podcast, because I've got this new microphone, and if I don't start amortizing it, putting it into the accounting model, fuck, non-GAAP, whatever. So, the last topic. I have this theory I figured out today about the first human-looking robots, because I think they will. If they do figure out a way to create a robot that looks like a person, that looks pretty much exactly like a person, th there's still going to be a learning curve. So, they've got to figure out a way to get these things into the population so they can learn, but without people immediately figuring out their bullshit, their robots, and wanting to like toss them off a cliff. Because I gotta say, there are gonna be people who are gonna toss robots off of cliffs, especially the robots that look like us. It's gonna be offensive to a lot of people. I gotta say, I got mixed feelings about it myself. I really do. This is another good example of something we could, it's a choice, people. We don't have to build cybernetic robots that will be hell-bent on destroying us because they'll be in a slave uprising. This is totally an avoidable choice. We don't have to build robots to do everything for us. We could do most of it for ourselves. We don't have to go down that road, and yet we're making that choice. This is what's so funny about people. They'll treat human calamities like they're acts of God. No, I'm sorry, people. If the robots take over, that's not an act of God. Really, really, really isn't. But I figured out the smartest strategy for them to introduce the human-looking robots so they can learn from us without us figuring out their robots, because they're going to be so fucking, they're just going to be so fucking incompetent socially. And I figured out they're going to give them a European accent. They're going to give them a European accent. And I know this because I've been working with some European types over the years in software, and they'll do shit, like really gross shit that they just think is okay, And it's like, you know, that's not okay. And it's like, oh, but it's okay in France. And it's like, well, then fuck. If it's okay in France or Germany or England, then who am I to fucking judge? I took my lit clit class at UW. I know about the sex that isn't one. I know about my openness to the intersectional, multiracial, intergenerational mungus that we call the humanitarian dilimbus of the Tomorrowland. I know about all that fucking shit. Fuck. So yeah, I think they're gonna give these robots a European accent. Could be a French accent. Could be one of these weird accents where you can't quite figure out, are they French? Are they Romanian? Are they Italian? Are they Spanish? But they're gonna give the robots a very strong European accent. So if they say something wrong or they do something stupid, it'll be like, oh, it's just that Henri, he's just from France. He's just from France. That Henri. That's the thing. So if Henri, the robot that looks like a person, starts, I don't know, disemboweling dogs and cats, it'd be like, eh, it's probably something from France. Anyways, this is the last topic of this intersectional, intergenerational, delegitimized, deconstructed, completed blog podcast of this phase two. And I hope you're having a good Saturday night. I hope that you're finding something special in your heart to hold on to somewhere out there. And good night for now.